This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم نحمده وحمد الذاكرين الشاكرين ونصلي على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Today being the 1st of July, also the 3rd of Dhul-Hijjah, we're honored to host our brother, our dear respected brother, our Ustadh Abu Taymiyyah, who is very dear to our hearts, especially in Masjid Al-Furqan. Ustadh Abu Taymiyyah is a graduate from the prestigious University of Medina. He has also studied in Egypt and Yemen. Today, inshallah, Ustadh Abu Taymiyyah will deliver a sermon on Talbis Iblis, which translates by Ibn al-Jawzi, which translates to the deception of Iblis. Without further ado, inshallah, we'd like to humbly request the Sheikh to begin the sermon, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salam ala al-Nabi al-Mustafa al-Mujtaba. My dear respective brothers and sisters, as most of us are aware, we are under threat. What am I referring to? We have the devil, Shaytan, who threatened and swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. He said, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And by your might, O Allah, I am going to mislead every single one of them. My brothers and my sisters, let us all reflect on this question, right? Imagine someone threatened to take your life, to hurt you, or to maybe be violent towards your beloved relatives. Would you be in a right state of mind? Would this not be something that bothers you? You would be taking caution, right? I need to do something about this because I am in danger. Shaytan, brothers and sisters, has threatened to mislead every single one of us without exception. He is working day and night, صباحاً ومساءاً, ليلاً ونهاراً. He doesn't have an off day. He doesn't just wake up and say, you know what, today let me take a break. Constantly, we are under the threat of the devil. This is why, my beloved brothers and sisters, after speaking with Sheikh Muhammad, we thought it would be a convenient topic to speak about, because the traps of the shaitan are many. Some of us may not necessarily actually realize, but sometimes we're trapped and we think that this is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will have a better idea of learning about our enemy, Iblis. I have chosen to take parts from the kitab of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, that is known to many of you, called Talbisu Iblis, the deception of Iblis. It is a wonderfully written kitab. I don't know whether it has been translated into English, and if it hasn't, I really suggest that someone goes out his way to do so. This Shaykh Imam, who died in the year 597, wallahi, some of his statements, you think to yourself, is he walking amongst us? Does he live amongst us? Because, subhanAllah, some of his statements, you see, they are in its proper place, that which is extremely relevant and convenient to the lives of us who are here today. The first statement that I want to stand over, my beloved brothers and sisters, is when Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَ تَلْبِيسُ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَى النَّاسِ صَدُّهُمْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ. He says, no. That the first deception of Iblis was to block the people away from knowledge. لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. And that is because knowledge, my beloved brothers and sisters, is a light. فَإِذَا أَطْفَأَ مَصَابِيحَهُمْ خَبَّطَهُمْ فِي الظُّلَمِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. If he manages to extinguish the light of ilm, خَبَّطَهُمْ فِي الظُّلَمِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ, he will be tripping them up from side to side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a parable in the Quran. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Allah Azza wa Jal says about the person who's dead, doesn't have life, but we gave him life. What was this life that he was given? The life of knowledge. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Imagine, my brothers and my sisters, right? You're in the middle of a forest, extremely dark, midnight. How are the people going to navigate in this forest without a light? All of a sudden they find a torch. That individual who's carrying the torch is being followed by everyone who was tripping up left, right. They're following who? The one with the torch. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. This, my brothers and my sisters, is the example of someone who's carrying the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this knowledge that you will find in the Quran and the Sunnah. Especially now when you look at the climate, brothers and sisters. لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْهُ. There doesn't come a time except the time that comes after is worse. I don't need to go into specifics, right? Of what is actually going on in today's day and age. Wallahu musta'an. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect every single one of us. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said, من أشراط الساعة أن يقل العلم ويظهر الجهل ويظهر الزنا. From the signs of the hour is that knowledge becomes scarce. Knowledge becomes scarce. Ignorance becomes so widespread. And zina likewise becomes prevalent. And without knowledge, my brothers and my sisters, it will become so, so difficult for an individual to hold on to his religion. Because he doesn't know which direction to go towards, right? What is he going to do, brothers and sisters, if he doesn't have knowledge in how to navigate around fitnatu shubuhat wa fitnatu shahawat? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, لَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِذُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِذِ عَلَى الْجَمَرِ. Holding on to your religion will be like holding on to hot coal. Isn't this the time that we're living in, brothers and sisters? So under this statement of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, I want to go through some of the traps of Iblis that Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned in his kitab Rawdatul Muhibbin. I was contemplating and reflecting, shall I go through it, shall I not? Because we announced that we will speak about the sayings and statements of Ibn al-Jawzi, right? However, I think it's imperative and worth mentioning these wonderful statements of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi when he spoke about طرق الشيطان في إغواء الإنسان. إغواء الإنسان. The traps of shaitan in misguiding the people. He says the following, brothers and sisters. الطريقة الأولى. This is now the first trap. يقول لك أكفر. He tries to trap you with كفر, disbelief. فلو فعلتها ارتاح باله. If you now disbelieve, my brothers and my sisters, خلاص, he will be at peace. ولم يحمل لك هما. He will stop focusing on you. You've committed كفر, disbelief. Right? Or maybe shirk. They are of the same category. They both take you out the fold of Islam. Why should he continue caring? Let me now misguide everyone else and trap them with the worst possible sin, which is what? Al-kufr and shirk. My brothers and my sisters, a lot of the time when we think about a shirk, right, the first thing that pops to mind is prostrating the statues, right? This is one of the first things that pops to mind. As if that's the only type of shirki act that takes an individual out of the fold of Islam. We as youngsters, when we are growing up, right? And I'm sure every single individual here maybe fell into it once upon a time. And I'm the first of them, and I put my hand up. As youngsters, whenever we wanted someone to believe us, we would say, swear on your mom's life, sah? Or swear on your dad's life. Or your dead nan's grave. Or swear down. Sahih? Am I waffling here? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man halafa bighayri Allahi faqad ashrak. Whoever swears now by other than Allah Azza wa Jalla has committed shirk. It varies between either major or minor. So it's not a light matter. These are prophetic statements of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's not the only type of shirk. One time, brothers and sisters, I collected all the contemporary forms of shirk that is maybe hidden from a lot of people. One of them is the zodiac signs that have become extremely prevalent on social media platforms like Snapchat. I don't have Snapchat. However, I was told by more than one individual how an individual refrains from maybe marrying another simply because they have a different star sign. SubhanAllah. Simply because they have a different star sign. They go onto some of these apps, which is very similar to visiting a kahin, a sorcerer or a fortune teller. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in the hadith, من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. Whoever visits a fortune teller or a sorcerer and believes what they say, indeed he has disbelieved in what was sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it, my brothers and my sisters, when we speak about these issues pertaining to a tawheed or shirk, people automatically think worshipping statues? That's not the only type, brothers and sisters. Right? And there's so many other contemporary types and forms of polytheism that takes an individual out of the fold of Islam. Another very common one, my brothers and my sisters, is someone may become so convinced with his intellect or their own intelligence, right, that they begin to utter statements such as, I don't believe in this, it doesn't make sense to me. And that then leads to something else. Eventually he will utter statements such as, Islam doesn't make any sense to me. What did he start with? Oh, wallahi, this doesn't fall in line with my logic. Why is it, my brothers and my sisters, that we need a disbeliever to come along and to prove to us medically that this should be done or it shouldn't be done? Leish. It's like we increase in iman the moment we see an article that has been written in English by Professor Bob and Mark. Your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told you 1400 years ago. Why now? Leish al-an? Give you guys an example. Not so long ago, I came across an article, I believe it was on the BBC, that it has now been medically proven that it's not good for an individual to drink while standing up. Allahu Akbar. Who told us this, brothers and sisters? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago. Why do we fail to understand that our intellects are also limited? Just as your eyesight is limited, right? When you speak to an atheist and you say to him, can you see that which is happening on the motorway? When you're in the city, he'll say, no, I can't. My eyesight is limited. Like that which you can smell is also limited. That which you can hear is also limited. Why do you fail to understand that your intellect is limited as well? Lish. Just as all of these body parts are limited, your intellect is limited as well. How often have we been in a position, my beloved brothers and sisters, even Ibn al-Qayyim talks about it, and I'm just digressing here, where we really, really think that this is the right thing for us. Because you're what? Musta'ajil. You're hasty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds you back from that. Why? Because Allah azza wa jalla knows that which is best for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ khayran kathira. You may dislike something, but Allah Azza will put a lot of good in it. 1 year down the line, after Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted you a wonderful spouse, you say, oh, subhanallah. If that didn't happen, yani the first marriage proposal that broke down, I wouldn't have Princess Charming today. Your intellect is limited. We are juhal when it comes to the masalih, the benefits that we are in need of. That's the reality in the bottom line. Also, that which I really wanted to make mention of, because we're amongst the qurra, may Allah Azza wa Jal preserve every single one of them and increase them in good. Every time I come here, I feel something. Wallahi, with the brothers, Hamalat Kitabillah, they are here. The last hajj that we went on before all of this craziness took place, right? Hajj 2019, I believe it was. Before I left, I'm sure you guys have heard of my good friend, Ustad Yasin Munya. He said to me, with your group, there will be other groups. You know, hajj groups, sometimes different groups, they travel together, they book the same hotel together, but everyone has their own sheikhs and their own Islamic tour guides, right? He said to me, so-and-so will be there, and he's known to propagate invoking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, I looked at my friend and I said, I think you're just exaggerating. How can someone who's memorized the seven qira'at then call to that? It's very far-fetched. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I arrive at the hotel, he preceded me there, right? And somewhat he heard that I don't follow a madhab. Came to me and he said, I heard you don't follow. I said, Ana Hanbali. I love the Shafi'iyya, wa kadhalik al-Hanafiyya, al-Hanabila, Malikiyya. I study it in the University of Al-Madina. We study these four madhahibs and we hold them to high regard. And we love them. So khalas, calm down. Tayyib, I'm very busy with the group. Huh? Hoping that inshallah ta'ala they perform the hajj in the best possible way. It was time of Maghrib, I prayed behind him. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, his qira'ah shook my heart because of how good it was with tajweed. It shook me, wallahi shook me. Allahumma barik. And then he was kept on going back and forth with my father. Eventually I sat down with him and I said, Sheikh, listen, we are not here to argue argumentations and disputations. Will only affect our hajj and also the hajj of the pilgrims that we are accompanying. So please, let's not speak about anything controversial. Let's just worry about ensuring that they perform the hajj there. Life saving is on the line. Let me be busy with them. Please stop arguing with me. And then he said, what are you referring to? What controversial issues? I said, please, don't go into things like encouraging the people to invoke the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because this is what I heard before, right? I thought maybe it's an opportunity to find out. Wallahi, the man became furious. Sab'a qira'at became furious. He said to me, how can you claim to be from Ahlul Bayt? Because we are Husaynis and he's a Hassani, right? We come from the same lineage, but this one's Hussein and this one's Hassan. How can you claim to be from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family and then you say you can't call onto the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I quoted three verses to him in the Quran and then I said to him, the hadith in 40 al-Nawiyya, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach Abdullah ibn Abbas? إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَسَأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think Sheikh Muhammad one time taught it here. 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, most of us have memorized. And he was taken aback. Ash-shahid min al-kalam, brothers and sisters, right? You may memorize the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, however, you lack knowledge, right? And we'll come on to one of the statements of Ibn al-Jawzi. He says, from the deception of Iblis is that he busies you with your outward actions. Or you turn away from knowledge thinking, okay, my actions are enough for me. Let me just do acts of worship. Weren't the Christians like that? وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ They worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla with ignorance. And that really took him aback. I'm mentioning this as an example, my brothers and my sisters, how the shaitan can trap an individual. Without a shadow of a doubt, wallahi, I really look up to my brothers here, who memorized qira'at and whatever have you, right? But also, knowledge is extremely, extremely important that could prevent you from a lot of problems. Imagine having memorized all of that, right? And then you find yourself falling into acts of shirk. And none of us are actually what? Safe from that. The hearts are in the hands of Allah. إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ أُصْبَعَيْنِ مِنَ أَصَابِعَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ يُقِيمُهُ أَقَامَ وَإِنْ شَاءَ يُذِيغَهُ أَزَاغَهُ. Right? They are in between the fingers of Allah. If Allah wants to keep it firm, He keeps it firm. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to deviate it, He will do so. Right? This is one of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. O turner of the hearts, keep our hearts firm upon your religion. Many Muslims are leaving the religion of Islam. The universities that we take our kids to, brothers and sisters, is a breeding ground for kufr and shirk. Christians are being affected. Muslims are being affected. A Christian might go there, and then all of a sudden becomes an atheist because he took one course. That's why my opinion, you don't have to agree, brothers and sisters, I advise parents not to take your children to the zoo with all of these predators. Would you let your child at zoo, khalas, he goes to this giraffe and then that tiger and you'd be scared, right? The university is no different to that. Take some time out, teach your kids, maybe take them abroad or put them in an institution. Let them learn and then take them to the university for their own sake. How many times have I discussed masail with youngsters in university? They don't discuss it with their parents because they're scared that the parent will get upset or angry. And we've seen it happen. A child goes to the father or the mother and begins to speak about the existence of Allah, right? The mother becomes shocked, the father becomes angry. You know what they do? They take him to Araqi. No, brothers and sisters, the man is not possessed. Because he wasn't learned, he's been exposed to all of these doubts. Like I said, the university is a breeding ground for kufr and atheists. I've been to university. Some are learning our religion so they can what? Challenge your faith. Imagine that. The kuffar are learning it, but we are not. That's why, wallahi, it really brings me a lot of joy when the parent notices and identifies that their child is very smart and intelligent. What do? They push him more towards the deeny side of things. Right? So let him now use his intelligence to benefit the Muslim Ummah by learning and memorizing. Just the other day when I went to Edmonton Green Islamic Center, which is the masjid in London that everybody washes there. They see that, right? The Imam, may Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve him, lovely brother, he said his son, he took him to school. This is after they spent so many years in Somalia. Took him to school, he started memorizing the exercise book. I said, what? Memorizing the exercise book? He's memorizing passages like water. Even the teacher got shocked. So he said, please encourage him to memorize Bukhari. At least, you know, we could. Allahu Akbar. Why not? Just the other day, I was telling one of my younger cousins, you're very, very smart, I've noticed. Now that you've already taken your degree from America, and it's one of the smartest that I've noticed in the family, why don't you also, inshallah, learn your religion and be a benefit? Why not? Benefit al-Islam wal-Muslimin. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from this, right? It's pretty scary. Also, when you contemplate and ponder upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, right? بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. Hasten to doing good deeds. The fitan are like the dark patches of the night. يصبح الإنسان مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا. ويمسي الإنسان مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. When he wakes up in the morning and he's a Muslim, by the night he becomes a kafir. How is that, brothers and sisters? Oh, he goes to sleep a Muslim and then by the morning he's what? A disbeliever. يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. Wallahi, it's something very profound that I once read by one of the professors in the Jami'atul Islamiyah. His name is Sheikh Abdul Qadir Atasufi. He said that the whole world has become like a village. He said for a very long time we would tell the professors, don't teach the students about some of these innovations and these doubts, because it's very far-fetched that they will become exposed to it. As for now, la. When I was revising for my master's Aqidah exam, I was reading a lot of his books. Why, brothers and sisters? Lesh? That was then, but now he said no. Because the whole world has now become like a small little village. Every filth and evil and doubt is one fingertip away. Agreed? The World Wide Web. That's what www stands for, by the way, for those who didn't know. The World Wide Web, eh? Fingertip away. Subhanallah. At-tariqatu al-thaniya. At-tariqatu al-thaniya. The second tariqah, or the second trap of Iblis. He says, فَإِذَا سَلِمْتَ مِنَ الْأُولَى فَإِنَّهُ يُزَيِّنُ لَكَ بِدْعَةً مِنْ عَمَلٍ أَوْ قَوْلٍ فَتَظُنُّ أَنَّكَ عَلَى حَقٍّ وَتَنْسَ أَنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. He says, if you manage to save yourself from the first, he now beautifies certain acts to you, right? Whether it is an innovated act or an innovated statement. And you begin to think that I'm upon the haqq. And you forget that every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance will lead you to the hellfire. This is after he doesn't succeed in making you a disbeliever. He moves on to the next step. You know, my brothers and my sisters, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, he says, Deenullahi wasaq. The religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is a balanced middle way. بين الغالي فيه والجافي عنه. Without going overboard and without also being negligent. Let me ask you all a question. When we think extremism, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Huh? When they say these extremists and whatever have you, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Khawarij, people have gone overboard, right? Huh? These groups have gone overboard and so on and so forth. طيب. Why is it, and rightfully so, right, we condemn these kind of acts? Why is it that we only look at these kind of things, but the left or the other side, no one pays any attention to it? Isn't that another type of extremism as well? Negligence? Huh? Liberalism? Live and let be. That's what liberalism is in a nutshell. Live and let be. Don't say anything. Let everybody do what they want. To the point where, and excuse me for being extremely abrupt and transparent. To the point, and this is where things are heading now, even in the UK, because we in the UK, we always follow our brothers and sisters across the pond in America. Why does it have to be that we are either on the back foot or we are being forced to have coalitions with these colorful minorities? Lesh. Why is it, my brothers and my sisters, that they are allowed to say whatever they want, but when it comes to us, we have to be silent? Lesh. They are able to express their feelings and their beliefs, whatever have you. They can paint the whole world with rainbow colors. But when it comes to Al-Islam, we feel extremely shy or we're criminalized for speaking out. Lesh. Why? Everybody wants to speak about the extremists, right? Rightfully so, condemn them. But what about the other side? The moment an individual is practicing his religion, and it's happening now in America, brothers and sisters, and we always follow suit. Just quoting the Quran, they say, no, don't. Quoting the Quran about Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, the great prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They told, no, don't. He's looked as someone who has tashaddud, extremism. طيب, who can tell me what mutashaddid is? Somebody who's mushaddid. Someone who's extreme. Hey, طيب. So holding on to your religion, having a beard, wearing a thobe, or wearing imama like Sheikh Bukhari, huh? Automatically, oh, this person's off it. Yasruh? Extremism, my brothers and my sisters, is when you what? Divert away from the balanced al-Islam. وَكَذَلِكْ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Without going overboard, and likewise, not being negligent. Live and let be. Right? Wearing a hijab, oh, you don't need to. We're in the 21st century. Wallahu musta'an. وَعَلَيْهِ التُّكْلَانُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوتِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Is that time, right? لَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ عَلَى دِينِكَ الْقَابِضُ عَلَى الْجَمْعِ. Holding on to your religion has what? Become like holding on to hot coal. So we know, brothers and sisters, that the innovations, as Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, cousin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَبْرُ الْأُمَّةِ الْبِدْعَةُ أَحَبُّ إِلَى إِبْلِيسَ مِنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. Innovations are more beloved to Iblis than what? Sins. Why? Who can tell me? Jazakallah khair, وَفَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. You know when somebody is committing zina and you say to him, أَخِي اتَّخِرْ, said, أَخِي, please make dua for me. صح؟ And then he might go home feeling regretful. He's a smart sinner. He makes tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the one who's carrying out practice of innovation, huh? He thinks he's getting closer to Allah. وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The shaytan, what did he do? He beautified the actions for them. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from that as well. الطَّرِيقَةُ الثَّالِثَةَ. If you, my brothers and my sisters, save yourself from the first two, and the shaitan doesn't succeed in making one a disbeliever or trapping him with innovation, he moves on to what? A major sin. وَهِيَ عَمَلُ كَبِيرَةٍ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ حَتَّى يَجْعَلَكَ تَعْصِ اللَّهِ. Major sins, brothers and sisters, have become so prevalent through what? These phones that are double-edged swords. I think I said this, right? When I came here just before the month of Ramadan. Every Ramadan we receive messages from who? Young brothers and sisters. What happened? They committed zina in the month of Ramadan. How did it start? And by the way, they did not know each other before the month of Ramadan. An innocent glance led to what? A more intriguing glance. Let me just double check. And sometimes you know what happens? He says, I want to give da'wah to her. She ends up giving da'wah to him. Huh? Allah mustan. Wallah, he's a trap from the shaytan. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, huh? I never left a fitna that is greater upon the men than what? The fitna of women. The moment you click on her profile pictures, brothers and sisters, you are playing with fire. Stop this fake religiosity. I'm giving her da'wah. Wallahi, be very careful. You are asking for it the moment you click on a profile picture. There are ways to go about it. And that's not the way. One thing leads to another. Please, brothers and sisters, if you get some time, I have a lecture on my YouTube channel. It's called Cheating Husbands, Filthy Fathers, and Free Mixing or Gender Mixing. How easily this can happen, especially through social media. One thing leads to another, and another, and another, and another. One slips into her what? Private messages. She was maybe dressing a certain way, however, no one's ever said to her, you look good. Some of our older generation, they're extremely barid, cold. Tell your children that you love them and that they look beautiful. What's stopping you? So the moment someone else slides in her DMs, right? She doesn't feel what? Blown away by it. So easy now today to trap a sister's mind. So easy. There are those on social media, they're trying to hold on to the religion, but they love the attention as well. She's dressing a certain way, but the moment the likes start going up and up and up, clothes start what? Reducing and reducing and reducing. And then he says, وَلَكِنْ مَعَ التَّوْبَةِ وَالِاسْتِغْفَارِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. How long do I have? Allah musta'an. We haven't even gone through 15 minutes. Then let me quickly rush through this, inshaAllah ta'ala. The fourth trap of the devil, brothers and sisters, if the shaitan didn't succeed in the first, the second, and the third, he moves on to the fourth, which is to trap you with a saghira, a minor sin. The fifth one, brothers and sisters, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says, now you are considered to be, في المراتب العالية عند Iblis. From those who have a very high status with Iblis. وهو يشغلك بالأقل أجرا من الأعلى. He busies you with that which is less rewarding. Subhanallah. From that which will give you more reward. There are many examples that I mentioned, maybe another day, inshallah ta'ala. الطريقة السادسة والأخيرة. The sixth, brothers and sisters, and this is what? The most difficult to deal with. Shaitan couldn't come to you directly. Who does he go through? Your relatives, especially when you start practicing. Oh, mashallah, we have Mr. Righteous on the block. Yesterday you was what? Selling drugs, and now you want to tell us what is right and what is wrong. You will feel extremely, extremely what? Belittled. Allah musta'an. Or your friends are speaking to you like that. It can be very, very hurtful. Especially brothers and sisters, when you start seeking knowledge, right? And I want everybody to really pay close attention to this. Ibn al-Qayyim says, الشيطان أحرص ما يكون على العبد حينما يهم بالخير. فإذا دخل فيه اشتد عليه. The shaitan is most eager the moment you intend to do some good. The moment you start doing it, oh, it comes down on you extremely, extremely hard. This is just my humble analysis. When I was in Al-Madinah and likewise Yemen, I seen that the shaitan, right, would irritate those who are the most serious, subhanAllah. Wallahi, this is just what I noticed. Because you have to understand, brothers and sisters, when you seek knowledge, right, what are you doing? You are hindering the progress of Iblis. Agreed? Because you're teaching the people how to protect themselves from shahawat, whims and desires, and also the shubuhat, the atheist doubts, and all of these other very well-known doubts. Make sense? That's why he's going to come down on you more harder than any other good deed that you intend on doing. And he says, right, التي لم يسلم منها الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Even the Anbiya, brothers and sisters, they couldn't protect themselves from this. They were irritated by it. Just look at إمرأة لوط, the wife of Lot. شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمة الله عليه says, ومن رضي عمل قوم حشر معهم. Whoever is pleased with a group of people and what they practice, he will be gathered with them and he will be from amongst them. Make sense, brothers and sisters? فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. So this sixth trap, brothers and sisters, right, shaitan couldn't come to you directly. So he came through the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though she did not directly practice it, what happened? She was destroyed amongst them as well. And this one's very, very hard. You're seeking knowledge, you're in Medina, and I'm sure some of our mashayikh, Sheikh Muhammad will testify, and others, right, will come through maybe wives or your children or maybe your parents or maybe others. Things are happening, you're just trying to focus. Or maybe the people in Medina themselves who are envying you. And we've spoken about this previously in the masjid. Five steps that prevent knowledge. It's on the channel as well. It was in the masjid here. Hasad, dhulm. People oppress you. Now, do you know, my brothers and my sisters, your status in the eyes of Iblis? Let's quickly, inshallah ta'ala, cover a couple of more statements of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi. The first one, and I think this is very, very important. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَمِن تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. No. وَمِن تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ قَدْحُ بَعْضِهِمْ فِي بَعْضِ طَلَبًا لِلتَّشَفِّي وَيُخْرِجُونَ ذَلِكَ مَخْرَجَ الْجَرْحِ وَالتَّعْدِيلِ. Allahu Akbar. Ibn al-Jawzi, is he saying here or ماذا? He said this, right? How many years ago? Over 800, 900 years ago. He says the way that Iblis has deceived the people of the Sunnah, people of Hadith, where they what? They rip into one another. It could be slander, it could be dropping him, throwing him under the bus. And they do this under the banner of Al-Jarh wa Ta'deel. This is exactly what we see today. This is a science that was studied, my brothers and my sisters, that is still studied, but it has a maqsad. For those who know, they know. In the University of Al-Madinah, my beloved brothers and sisters, wallahi, many of those who took this path, thinking that they're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by throwing this guy under the bus, criticizing this guy's off the manhaj and whatever have you, they did not go past the Arabic Institute. They were prevented knowledge. Just because you're not watching adult content under your blanket, don't think that you are saved from that which will hinder you in progressing in knowledge. And this again, look, he trapped them. Many of them went back, they became drug dealers. أنا أعرفهم شخصين, I know them personally. They try to make it hard and difficult for others, it ended up happening to them. Also Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says, لَبَّسَ إِبْلِيسُ عَلَى الْعَوَامِ بِالْجَرَيَانِ مَعَ الْعَادَاتِ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ أَكْثَرِ أَسْبَابِ هَلَاكِهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ يُقَلِّدُونَ الْآبَاءِ. Here Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the shaytan, he deceived some of the common folk, right? They adhered and clung onto their adat, their cultural practices. And this was from the main causes that destroyed them. My brothers and my sisters, there's nothing wrong with cultural practices as long as it doesn't go against the sharia. What does the Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi say? وَالْأَصْلُ فِي عَادَاتِنَا الْإِبَاحَةِ حَتَّى يَجِيءَ صَارِفُ الْإِبَاحَةِ. The base ruling when it comes to cultural practice is this, practices is that it is perfectly fine until you find a dalil, an evidence that goes against it. Recently I came to know about a very nice Somali ada when I went to Sheffield. بلدك يا شيخ. A very nice Somali ada is when they host a guest, he does not enter into the kitchen to wash his hands. They bring him a bowl that has water in it. One has water and the other has what? Shampoo. Sahih, Sheikh? Adidin samaha. He washes it. He doesn't get off his seat. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there isn't. Does it go against the Quran and the Sunnah? No, it doesn't. However, a very bad adah, my brothers and my sisters, is this gender mixing that happens sometimes between extended relatives. They say he's your uncle. No, he's not uncle. He's someone that grew up with her mom when they were back home in Somalia or in Yemen. You know, I came across a statement of Al-Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, أنه كان يكره. He used to dislike. I'll give you guys an example, right? You have a man and his new wife. She's young in age. And then you also have the son of this man. Let me ask you all a question. Can this son travel with the new wife of his dad? Ah, ya jama'ah. He's the... For example now, to make it more clear, it's unfortunate I have to use myself as an example. My dad got married. Sahih? Am I now the mahram of this woman? Yes, I am. أليس كذلك يا شيخ? Huh? I think a lot of you guys don't want to get married to a second wife. خلي. Huh? خلي الأحكام. Are you guys with me? جميل. Am I her mahram? Yes, I am. I can travel with her and so on. However, Imam Malik used to dislike it. Why? Simply because maybe she's young in age. And also because they're just new to one another. He used to dislike it. I use this as an example when I was researching. تغير الفتوى لانتشار الفساد وضعف الوازع الديني. Sometimes the fatwa can change because of filth and evil and corruption becoming widespread. So he analyzed that which was happening in his time and he said, I dislike that this happens. So I wrote under it, يا ليت شعري فكيف لو رأى الإمام مالك ما يفعله بعض الأعمام. If only Imam Malik saw what some uncles are doing with their nieces. Second uncle, third uncle. Sometimes he walks into the house, right? He takes the daughter. This is what's happening. We're receiving these messages all the time. I was abused by so-and-so. You see? He's not even her mahram and you as a parent are allowing him to take her? Is it surprising later on when something happens? And another example is sometimes you see two cousins, right? Cousins, are they mahram for one another? No, they're not. Oh, wa walal kaga. He's your brother. So they hang around together, they go upstairs together, they're watching a movie together. A movie with all of these scenes that intensifies the desire. What do you expect tomorrow, right? When the shahwa goes out of control and something happens? Little too late, right? And they say, wa'adadana is our own adu, our cultural practice. This is a cultural practice that goes against Sharia. Or being alone with the opposite gender. Oh, he's just, you know, it's fine. It's not a big deal. This is when you really begin to appreciate knowledge, my brothers and my sisters. And he says that this is from the main reasons as to why they were destroyed. Sheikh, how long do I have? 2 minutes? طيب. I'll mention the last one. Earlier I touched on it. He says, وَمِن تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَىٰ الْعِبَادِ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ فَأَوَّلُ تَلْبِيسِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ إِثَارُهُمَ التَّعَبُّدَ عَلَىٰ الْعِلْمِ. We talked about giving precedence to worship over knowledge. The one that I really want to mention, inshaAllah ta'ala, is the following. It says, وَمِن تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَىٰ عَوَامِ النَّاسِ أَنَّهُمْ يَفْعَلُونَ الْمَعَاصِي فَإِذَا أَنْكَرْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَالُوا أَرَبُّ كَرِيمٌ وَالْعَفُ وَاسِعٌ. From the deception of Iblis on the commoners is, they carry out sins. When you disapprove of this, he says, Ar-Rabbu Kareem, Allah is generous. And His forgiveness is extremely wasi'. Stop judging me. Do we not hear it all the time? You don't know what's in my heart. Akhi, the brother is giving you an advice. The brother is giving you an advice. He has only been ordered to judge that which is apparent. He's not saying you're from the fire. He's trying to save you. Right? And then the hadith is quoted. إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أجسادكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وإلى. That's taken off. Allah doesn't look at your outer appearance or how big or how skinny you are, but He looks at what? Your hearts. Is that it? But also looks at your actions. They go hand in hand with one another. That's become apparent to me. I'm there to advise you. Right? And last one, Sheikh. Last one, right? Samihni, Sheikh, you put me under a lot of pressure. He says, وَمِن تَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَى الْمُنْكِرِ أَنَّهُ إِذَا أَنْكَرَ جَلَسَ فِي مَجْمَعٍ يَصِفُ مَا فَعَلَ وَيَتَبَاهَا بِهِ وَيَسُبُّ أَصْحَابَ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيَلْعَنُهُمْ وَلَعَلَّ الْقَوْمِ قَدْ تَابُوا وَرُبَّمَا كَانُوا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمْ. He also says, إِنَّ أَقْوَامًا عَلَتْ هِمَمُهُمْ فَحَصَّلُوا عُلُومَ الشَّرْعِ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحَدِيثَ وَالْفِقْهَ وَالْأَدَبَ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَأَتَاهُمْ إِبْلِيسُ يخفي التلبيس فأراهم أنفسهم بعين العظمة لما نالوا وأفادوا. And last but not least, فَرُبَّمَا رَأَيْتَ إِمَامَ مَسْجِدٍ يَتَصَدَّى لِلْإِقْرَاءِ وَلَا يَعْرِفُ مَا يُفْسِدُ الصَّلَاةَ وَرُبَّمَا حَمَلَهُ حُبُّ التَّصَدُّرِ حَتَّى لَا يُرَى بِعَيْنِ الْجَهَلِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ بَيْنِ يَدَيِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. What he mentioned is sometimes you advise an individual because of some evil that he's doing. You walk away and you sit with the people. What do you do? You start insulting the people that you advise. Look at them, look at them. Look how they are behaving. Ah, this is not advice anymore. You are what? Degrading. Right? And perhaps when he's doing that, they've already repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever walk past an individual, brother and sister, thinking that you are better than them. No matter how much of knowledge you have acquired. Wallahi, you don't know. He might have a secret act just between him and Allah Azza wa Jal that nobody knows about. كَمْ مِنْ مَجْهُولٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَعْلُومٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The saying goes, there's many people that are unknown on the earth, but they are known to Allah. He also said, there are people, they have high aspirations. They acquired so much knowledge. Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, and Adab. Right? So Shaitan, the Iblis came, and he tried to trap them in a very hidden way. They began to feel to themselves that they are so great. Look at me now. The moment they started benefiting the people, and the last one, brothers and sisters, he says, you may find an individual who's the imam of a masjid. He's teaching people the Quran. However, he himself doesn't know the basics and the essentials. He doesn't know what nullifies his salah. And because now he's known and the people look up to him, right? He fears that if I sit in a gathering, people will begin to think I'm ignorant and they won't look at me like that. Remember last time, the last lecture that we gave about tawadu'? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said, you will not become an alim until you take knowledge from those who have more than you, those the same as you, like your classmates, and also those who have less than you, and you thank them for it. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. May Allah honor you for allowing me to finish that. There are more, but alhamdulillah, we covered. Allah yahfadhak, Shaykh.
Jazakumullah khair. MashaAllah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it's always, mashallah, very inspiring and beneficial to sit in front of our ustaz, Ustaz Abu Taymiyyah, hafidhahullah ta'ala. I've had the honor to be with him and on Tuesday, and alhamdulillah, here we are together on Friday. Jazakallah khair. I want to also thank our ustaz Bukhari tonight, mashallah, for taking the role of introducing the Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. You've done very, very well. We are very proud of you, Ustaz Bukhari, mashallah. You'll take over that role, inshallah ta'ala, from now on. Barakallahu feek.
And Sheikh, can I call you? This is Sheikh Muhammad for you, right? Sometimes he does tend to go a little bit overboard, but we'll forgive him for that because he's an extremely humble individual. Remember that lecture I gave? The way the whole lecture came about, I was like, what topic should I choose? And then I remember Sheikh Muhammad, and there's a trait that he's known for, which is what? Being humble. Ameen, Sheikh.
Inshallah, jazakallah.
May Allah forgive you.
Ameen, ameen.
And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, get the dust then.
Yes,
jazakallah.
He was talking about another Muhammad, not me. Okay, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Okay, jazakallah khair. And brothers and sisters, and let me take this opportunity, inshallah ta'ala, to make a couple of announcements. And one of the announcements is the following. And inshallah ta'ala, every Saturday, beginning from this month, inshallah ta'ala, we will have a Saturday lecture series, and which will be beginning, inshallah ta'ala, the Saturday after Eid. And which means next Saturday is the 9th. The one after that is going to be on the 16th. And the beautiful thing about this series is, like, every Saturday we will be inviting one of the mashaykh, inshallah ta'ala, and we will have a theme for every month. So inshallah ta'ala, the theme of this month, the month of July, is going to be about the afterlife. It's going to be, inshallah ta'ala, if you can get on, inshallah ta'ala, one of the lectures, inshallah ta'ala, one of the Saturdays.
Sheikh, I'm retiring from lectures.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll try and get Ustaz Abu Taymiyyah, inshallah ta'ala. And so, when are we going to start this series? Did we say which day? the 16th of July. So inshallah ta'ala, the month of July, we will have three sessions, inshallah. And then after that, we will be having a few sessions on August as well, on Saturday. Saturdays on August. Also, I want to also announce tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we will have our summer, inshallah ta'ala, conference during the month of August. Alhamdulillah, we have a conference for you, inshallah ta'ala, coming up. And hopefully shortly will be announced, and inshallah ta'ala, the poster will come out, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. It will be in the month of August, inshallah ta'ala. And finally, and
am I on that as well, Sheikh?
If you are in the country, you might not be in the country, but if you're in the country, you'll be
I'm
in.
Running away, Sheikh.
Inshallah,
exactly. I'm tired of the UK, Sheikh.
Inshallah, you'll be invited, inshallah ta'ala. And also, and you're on the list. I'm just remembering it. Yes, you're already on the list, mashallah. Jazakallah khair. You can see, look at the many brothers and sisters we have in the masjid, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan. And the next one is about, inshallah ta'ala, and Ustaz Mukhtar has announced, you know, just after Salat al-Maghrib, and what the masjid is doing is actually asking the brothers and the sisters if they can fill the direct debit forms and donate to the masjid, inshallah ta'ala, £20 a month regularly or £10 a month. Alhamdulillah, I can see a lot of young brothers who are professionals, who are working, who've got good income. And this is an opportunity for you. Just imagine if you take one of the application forms or the direct debit forms tonight and you fill it. And these are one of the, mashallah, wonderful nights and of this amazing month, the month of Dhul Hijjah. Imagine you filling that, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept this deed from you, and how much ajr you're going to get. These are the days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. It's a great moment, alhamdulillah, to make that promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you'll be giving to the masjid like £10 or £20 and a month. And inshallah ta'ala, the masjid will be able to take care of, alhamdulillah, the activities that the masjid takes care of. So jazakumullah khairan. As for Eid, inshallah ta'ala, as we know, next Friday is going to be the day of Arafah. Saturday is going to be the day of Eid. We will have our Eid in the park as usual, inshallah ta'ala, bigger than ever before, inshallah ta'ala. Eid in the park, last time, alhamdulillah, we had almost, the estimate was around 18 to 20,000 people came to the last one. So inshallah ta'ala, Platt Lane. And this year, hopefully, it will be the same or bigger. This time, inshallah ta'ala, this Eid al-Adha, it will be the same or bigger, inshallah ta'ala. If we can get some volunteers, inshallah ta'ala, I can see a lot of young brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, sisters are downstairs, the brothers are here. If we can get some volunteers, inshallah ta'ala, it would be really, really appreciated. Just imagine serving 20,000 people. What do you think, Sheikh?
Yeah, wallahi.
Volunteering.
Yeah. Rama wallah fi aun al abd maka.
We might actually ask you to come and volunteer, Sheikh.
Why not, yes. Sheikh?
I'm recruiting the Sheikh, you know? So, alhamdulillah.
I'm giving a khutbah in wedding, Sheikh. I'm giving Eid khutbah there.
Inshallah. Yeah, continue, Sheikh.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخي. Allah is in the aid of his servant as long as he's aiding his brother. But what brings to mind is what Ibn al-Qayyim said. He said, كان الشيخ الإسلام تيمية يسعى في حوائج الناس سعيا شديدا. Why? He said he really used to go out his way to benefit and to help the people and to be there for them. Right? Why? Because of this hadith. As long as you help the people, Allah will help you. Right? Subhanallah. This is Ibn Taymi rahmatullah alayhi for you. And no one is more busy than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I always remind myself of this. He was a husband. He was a judge. He was a mufti. He was a general. Right? He had all of these roles, subhanallah. And still, hadith Anas Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a woman, kana fi aqliha shay. She had some deficiency in her intellect. And she said, can you take me to so and so place? She wasn't mentally there. And then he said, Ya Umma Fulan, Unduri ila ayyi sikaki shit. Take me wherever you need. So he stayed with her all the way up until she finished. Allah. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The general, the mufti, the judge. Absolutely. And the husband.
Jazakallah khair. You can see the value of volunteering and helping out and mashallah and helping and aiding the people. Jazakumullah khair. So inshallah ta'ala, the brothers, and I'm really happy. I don't know whether that brother is here. I just met a brother yesterday in the masjid. I've never seen him before. He came to me and he said, I'm looking for an Ustaz Zakaria. And I said, okay, why do you want him? He said, I want to volunteer. I've never seen that brother before. And he wanted to volunteer. And he said, what are you volunteering for? He said, inshallah, I've heard Eid in the Park is coming up. I want to volunteer for Eid al-Adha. Okay, he's not somebody that comes to the masjid. I don't even know him that much. And so, and when I saw that, I took his name down, I took his number, and I said, we'll get back to you, inshallah ta'ala. You can see, you know, that enthusiasm, like mashallah, Ustaz Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah has just reminded us the importance of and doing the going the extra mile to help out, inshallah ta'ala. So definitely we will have a lot of young brothers, hopefully, who will volunteer. We want to thank the brothers who, and the sisters who already volunteer all the time. Jazakumullah khairan. So inshallah ta'ala, please, and inshallah ta'ala, register. And if you are able to, and you got the time, inshallah ta'ala, and you want the ajr as well, jazakumullah khairan. And now we are going to get ready for the adhan. And I want to say to Ustaz Abu Taymiyyah, jazakallah khairan for coming and enlightening us with your knowledge.
Nice.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you.
That was the knowledge of Ibn al-Jawzi and Ibn al-Qayyim, not my knowledge, Shaykh.
Jazakallah khair.
I just translated.
MashaAllah, you are the one who brought it to us. So inshallah ta'ala, jazakallah khair. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you greatly. And I want to thank all the brothers and the sisters who've attended. Also, I want to thank the mother who has cooked, mashallah, the food for us. Alhamdulillah, one of the mothers, mashallah, she brought food for the people who were fasting, mashallah, the Hijjah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from her and her family as well, inshallah ta'ala. So, jazakumullah khairan. And now we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, the adhan is going to be made for Salat al-Isha. And then Ustaz Abu Taymiyyah will be, inshallah ta'ala, leading us, inshallah ta'ala, Salat al-Isha, so we can enjoy his wonderful voice, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who's with you? Brothers.
I have two brothers with me.
Two brothers. What are they called?
One of them is called Hashim.
And the other one?
It's called Naeem.
Brother Hashim and Brother Naeem, jazakumullah khairan for bringing the Shaykh, inshallah ta'ala. We'll see you after the salah as well. Barakallah fikum.